बिहारी। गोपी जना बलवा गिरीवर धारी, गोपी जना बलवा गिरीवर धारी। जाशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजन, जाशोर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना चीरावन छारी, जमुना चीरा बनाचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय श्री श्री राधा माधव जू की, जय श्री प्रभुपाद की, जय ओम विष्णु पर परमहंस परिव्रज काचाच अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति विदान स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की, इस्कॉन प्रतिष्ठ आचार्य जगत गुरु श्री प्रभुपाद की, जय अनंत कोट वैष्णव वृंद की, जय नमाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की, जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गरधा शिवा श्री गौर भक्त वृंद की, जय जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरिगोवर्धन की, जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की, नवदीप सी मायपो धाम की, जय श्री श्री बलराम जयंती की, जय श्री श्री राधा माधव झूलन्याच महोत्सव की, जय गंगमय की, जय जामुनमय की, जय भक्ति देव की, जय तुलसी महारानी की, जय श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन गौर भक्त वृंद की, जय जय निताय गो प्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6. Oh, nothing on the board. Okay, I'll read the sloka anyway. Third point. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 25. Tushti, tushti, chatatra kim mavayam anantadye kim terguna vaitikara diha yeshvashidha dharmanadaya kim agunina cha kanshitina saram justam charanaya upagayantamna. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, the Boy Charanagar in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. Nothing is unobtainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. The Lord is a reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. For devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of material nature, what use is following the principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are automatically obtainable under the influence of the modes of nature? We devotees always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of karma, artha karma, or moksha. Purport. In an advanced civilization, people are eager to be religious, to be economically well situated, to satisfy their senses to the fullest extent, and at last attain liberation. However, these are not to be magnified as desirable. Indeed, for a devotee, these are all very easily available. Bilva Mangalavata Thakur said, Mukti Shvayam Mukulitanjali Shaivati Shmam Dharmata Kama Gatsya Samya Pratikshaha. Liberation always stands at the door of a devotee, ready to carry out his orders. Material advancement in religion, economic development, and sense gratification and liberation simply wait to serve the devotee at the first opportunity. A devotee is always already in the transcendental position. He does not need further qualification to be liberated. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26, Shagunam Shamityetam Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpati. A devotee is transcendental to the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature because he is situated on the Brahman platform. Prahlad Maharaj said, Agunina Cha Kankshitina. If one is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not need anything in terms of dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. In Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, in the beginning of the transcendental literature, it is said, Dharmaha Prochita Kaitabo Tra Dharma Artha Kama and Moksha and Kaitabha. They're false and unnecessary. Animat Sharanam, persons who are completely transcendental to the material activities of separatedness, who make no distinction between mine and yours, who are simply engaged in devotional service to the Lord, are actually fit to accept Bhagavad Dharma, Dharmam Bhagavatam Iha. Because they are near Matsara, not jealous of anyone. They want to make others devotees, even their enemies. In this regard, Madhavacharya remarks, Kangshati Moksha Gam Apishukam Nakangshato Chata. Devotees are not desirable of any material happiness, including the happiness derived from liberation. This is called Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. Kam is desire material happiness and Jnana is desire liberation, but a devotee does not desire anything. He is simply satisfied by rendering transcendental loving service to the lotus feet of the Lord and glorifying Him everywhere by preaching, which is His life and soul. So here are all the good qualities being spoken of Prahlad Maharaj. He's showing us how one, he shouldn't desire material happiness or liberation. Or in other words, he doesn't try to enjoy the material world, nor does he try to get out of the material world. The calm is they want to enter into the material world to enjoy it. The gyan is they want to get out of the material world to enjoy also. But the devotees, they want to go back to Godhead. Their path is going back to Godhead. So therefore they're on a completely different platform, or the platform of devotional service, is beyond the platform of liberation, it's beyond the platform of material enjoyment. So the devotional service is absolute, because the practice of devotional service, the result is that we want more devotional service. Whereas the practices of karma to get material happiness, that the goal is get happiness, so the means is different from the end. First you've got to work hard and do whatever you do to get your happiness. That's the goal of your working hard. And the gyanis, they have to do their yoga and gyan and study and everything to become free from the material world. So then they give up the process of gyan. When they get their liberation, then they give up the process of gyan. When the karmi gets his material happiness, then he gives up that process which got that happiness. But the devotees, or devotional service, is absolute. You don't give up the process. Of course there is a transformation. You're performing devotional service now, you're performing devotional service in the spiritual world, where there's no change. There is no change in consciousness. So this is the nature of devotional service. It's on the absolute platform. So therefore then the devotees don't desire anything except here. It says like to except to preach the glories of the Lord wherever he is, which is his life and soul. This becomes the life and soul of devotees. So especially relevant to our society. We are a preaching society, Goshtanandi, not Bhajananandis. So this is an absolute platform. It's said in the scripture that when there is no more sun, no more stars, no Shiva, no Brahma, everything is finished, it's all wound up. Nothing remains in this material world. So all of these different processes that we're following in the material world, they're all temporary. Along with the creation of the material world and the creation of these different processes of self-realization of dhamma, artha, karma, moksha, varnashram, etc., they're all newly invented. And when the they're all newly invented. So when the universe is finished, there is no karma yoga, no jnani yoga, no ashtanga yoga, no demigod worship, none. All of these processes of self-realization and any process of living in the material world, they're all finished, along with the destruction of the material world. But devotional service that goes on, even after the material world is destroyed, devotional service is still going on in the spiritual world. When there is the pralaya or partial devastation, half the universe is full of water. And the whole devastation is taking place. Matsya, he saves the Vedas. He's swimming around on the devastation waters of the universe. Then they see a beautiful lotus floating on the water during the devastation. What's this big lotus doing here? So this is Navadvipa Dham. It's not affected by the when the universal changes. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, quoting Mayapur Dham, he doesn't use the word Mayapur Dham, but he said that supreme abode of mine, which is the supreme abode of Lord Chaitanya, that is not destroyed. Even when these worlds are put into ruination, that part will remain as it is. So Mayapur is unaffected when there is a devastation, delusion. It floats on the flood waters like a lotus flower. And therefore Lord Matsya, he deposits the Vedas there. And then the different expounders of the different philosophies, they have their seats here in Vijayanagara. He puts all the knowledge in Vijayanagara. And then for the next creation, you have your knowledge and something to act on. So devotional service goes on eternally, even when everything is finished, the whole material world is finished. Devotional service will go on eternally. So that is the absolute nature. But while we're living here, we have to act, and there's different ways of acting here. It's generally advanced civilizations, they're following this procedure, dharma, artha, karma, moksha. This is recommended in the Vedas. Do your dharma, be religious, and by that you'll get blessings from the devatas and like that. And then you can develop nicely, you can get socially, you can interact, you can have society, economic development is there, that it'll come automatically by your being dharmic and pious. And then when you economically develop nicely, then you can enjoy, you get money, so then you can, dharma, artha, karma, you can enjoy it. Then after that, when you get tired of trying to enjoy the material world, there is moksha. Although it's not emphasized so much. But these are the four progressive stages in life, dharma, artha, karma, moksha. Just like America is the example. In America, during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was actually 500 years or so ago, then America was discovered. It was already there, but it was discovered by Christopher Columbus. And so it was a new land, it was great. It's the promised land, so all the settlers coming and the immigrants from Europe and different places. And they started to build up the country. And they were mostly Christians, all coming from European stock. And colonists. You had to go to church. You've got to go to church and you've got to pray to God to give us economic development. We're the founder fathers of this new country. So you please, everybody goes to church. You have to go. There's no question not going. You have to go. You pray to God. So they did that. That's their dharma. And as a result, artha, they got a lot of piety. They started to get money and wealth, and then they could enjoy with all that wealth. So dharma, artha, karma, this is a progression. See, money, artha, comes from dharma. It doesn't come from anywhere else. You get two people working side by side doing exactly the same thing. I mean, you know, they're exactly the same level. They're trying to make it in business. One's successful and one is not. But why is that? They had more or less the same education. Everything was the same in this life. But one got the result and one didn't get the result. One got money and one didn't make money. So the reason that one got money is because of his dharma in the previous life. He was dharmic, and then now he's getting a reaction of that dharma, or a religiousness. He's getting results, he's getting the wealth for it. And the other one, he wasn't practicing, he wasn't religious in his previous life, and therefore he's not getting any money. So it's not how hard you work and how you accumulate that determines your wealth in this life. It's what you did in your previous life. You're from dharma. So dharma only comes from artha, only comes from dharma. But of course not many people choose liberation. They like the enjoyment. But you see, this is actually in the history of the world, it's the same progression, the empires that built up, they started being very religious, and they became very affluent, Greek-Roman empires, and then they were really into sense gratification. And of course, they didn't want moksha. Then the next generation, they're born into it, and it was very lavish, supposedly. The Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, very, very lavish for enjoyment. That was a place to be in those days, at that time. So then the new generations, they're born into that. So what do we need to be religious for? We got everything. We got so enjoy, and then they lose all their karma, all their good credit, all their dharma, and then they fall down again. So he's saying here, what do we need for anything? What do we need to ask for anything in terms of dharma, karma, artha, and moksha? Because we are busy serving Krishna. We don't have time for anything else. So actually, the purpose of the Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha, actually purpose of all the different systems that you follow is to show the superiority of spontaneous devotional service. Ultimately, that's where you're going to come to. When whatever system you follow, if you want, you perfect that and you go on and on and on, ultimately you'll come to that point. How the pure devotional service, spontaneous devotional service, this is the eternal existence. Everybody's engaged in the spiritual world in eternal devotional service, spontaneous devotional service. So that all the other terminology, etc., and process in this material world are for this purpose, to reveal the high position of spontaneous devotional service. But because people are very much attached to following these paths, they think this path is better for me. According to my karma, it is the best thing I can do right now. So because of the having these different desires and think I can do it this particular way, I can become Krishna conscious and by this way or whatever it is, by karma, jnana, yoga, all these mixtures and things like that. Because of that, because we have our tendency to think I can do it my way because I'm the controller after all, and I'll enjoy in this way, and this is the way to get that enjoyment, so I'll do it my way. So because of that, then Krishna gives all these other different processes of religion and self-realization and manashram dharma, etc. That's why they're all there, because we have a desire to do it in a certain way, do something in a certain way, according to my own nature. So Krishna creates all these different varieties, but Krishna actually doesn't really want us to follow these different paths. Therefore he says, Sarvadhanam Parityajamamikam Shrana. That you give up all these dharmas. I've spoken so many things in Bhagavad Gita, karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, panashram, mukti, liberation, sannyas, knowledge. I've spoken, so now what do I say? Give it all up, Arjuna. It's all useless. You simply surrender to me. That'll save you a lot of trouble. So this is the devotee situation. They're always on the platform of devotional service. So therefore they're not really interested in dharma, karma, moksha. There's another verse, very famous verse in Bhagavatam, says something like, if you perform all the rules and regulations of whatever you're doing, but you don't come to the point of devotional service, then what was the use of doing all those rules and regulations and processes? If you didn't come to the point of Krishna consciousness, which what you're supposed to have done, then what use was all those rules and regulations? And if you're practicing Krishna consciousness, what is the use of all the rules and regulations and different purposes? If you're practicing all the rules and different systems, but you don't become Krishna consciousness, what was the use of practicing? And if you are practicing Krishna consciousness, then what is the use of practicing all the rules and regulations and different systems? Because you're already on the right path, on the absolute path of devotional service. So, here it says, liberation always stands at the door of the devotee, ready to carry out his orders. Bilva Mangalo Thakur. I think mukti is waiting to serve me at your lotus feet. Also here in Rutudweep. It is Rutudweep Island. Oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in the Navadip Bhavataranga that he's here wandering around, he sees the Shiva Lingam. And he offers obeisances, and then he sees one goddess. So he approaches there and says, Mother, who are you? What's your name? What are you doing here? And she said, my name is Nirvana. Sayuja. My name is Sayuja. My sisters, Salimpya, Salokya, Sharupa, the four kinds of liberation. They've all gone away and gone off to Vaikunthapur. Leaving me embarrassed. I'm sitting here embarrassed. I'm in the Dharma here, Rutudweep. Some sages were giving me attention at some times. Ashtabhakra, Dattatreya, they were following the path of monism, the Mayavad philosophy. But now, even though I'm in Mayapur, they've all deserted me. They've gone off to serve Gauranga. So what will I do? What is my fate? Everyone has run away and started doing devotional service. Nobody gives me any attention anymore in Mayapur Dham. I'm Nirvana Mukti Devi. So I'll find a place and give up my life. That place will be called Nirdaya, over there. So she is liberation, personifies Sayuja Mukti. But she's waiting. Where are those devotees gone? I'm looking for them. I'm searching for them. Where are they? So Mukti is looking for the following the devotees. It's another Prabhu who says, Bhukti and Mukti. They are. The fact is, they stand with folding hands. How we can serve the devotees of Navadvip Dham? The devotees say, get out of here. They kick them away with their feet. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They kick them away with their feet. They still don't go away. They're still there waiting at the police. If any of you want any service, we are ready to serve. We want the mercy of the devotees of the Dharma. But the devotees never take it. Ah, Mukti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, simply hearing that name, Sayuja Mukti, shivering. Just like the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When they hear the Putana, that big witch, they're all shaking in fear. So the devotees, they hear this Sayuja Mukti or Nirvana, they all shivering in fear. So, Prabhupada is a nice word here. Advanced civilization people are eager to be religious, to be economically well situated, to satisfy their senses to the fullest extent, and at last attain liberation. However, these are not to be magnified as desirable. I like this word Prabhupada used, magnified. These are processes of dharma, karma, moksha. They're not to be magnified or blown up. They're not to be magnified as desirable. So this was Vyasadeva. He had that problem. Narad Muni came and Vyasadeva told him, I got a problem. And Narad said, yeah, that's what, you know what you did? You magnified. You magnified all these Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha and make it seem like the thing of the Vedas. This is the Vedas. Dharma, Karma, Moksha, the different, all the different processes they are giving. Rini Kinkara, you were born a debtor, Rini. You were indebted to your mother and father, they gave you the body, you're indebted to the sages who give you knowledge, you're indebted to the demigods who give you rain, you're indebted to the government, they make the roads, but you have six debtors, by birth. Now, human life means you pay off those debts. This is what human life is. This is what the Veda is saying. You're born a debtor, you have six debts to pay, you pay those off. That's your activity in life. But the problem is, although it's human civilized life and it's elevating humans, but the problem is, Gopal Bhattacharya Swami points out, Sakriyat Saudipika, that the problem is, say you worship the devatas, for sure you have to pay the debt back, and you worship your forefathers also. But what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Those who worship the devatas, those who worship the pitras, they take their birth in the pitra loka, they take their birth in the deva lokas. So this is the result. So they become kinkara. Kinkara means servant. They become servant of the demigods. They become servant of the pitras because they're offering worship. So as a result, next, when they leave their body, they go to Pitraloka, go to Devaloka. Again, they've got to come back and take a human birth again to start again. So, although the Vedas are promising, this is what you should be doing, this is the activity you should be doing for civilized human beings. But it's defective. But it's okay for people who want to enjoy in the material world. If you want to stay in the material world and enjoy, do it this way, the Veda says, but you'll get more happiness than your own invention, that's for sure. So follow this Varnashram system, follow the systems of Rini and Kinkara, being the debtor of paying your debts. You'll get more happiness because they're Krishna's inventions in society. This is for people who come here to enjoy the material world. They're not really interested in getting out. People who come to the material world, they don't really have an interest to get out of the material. That's why not many people are interested in Krishna consciousness. Because we just didn't come in the material world to go back to Godhead. We left Godhead, we came here to enjoy it. So we've got to go through that whole experience. And so there's different processes, Krishna said. But we can meet a devotee of the Lord, of course. You can skip all these different processes. But so this is the devotee has, he doesn't change anything. Nothing changes for the devotee because his consciousness is fixed on serving Krishna. Here or in the, even if he has to go to hell, he doesn't mind. Or heaven, or back to Godhead. But still he's only interested in where he can serve Krishna, where he can remember the lotus feet of Krishna. But they are good things in this material world. We should have society is nicely balanced if everybody followed Varnashram and these different processes, Dharma, Karma. The world would be a better place. The devotees don't mind. We can live quite comfortably with Varnashram people. That's not a problem. It doesn't. Even Krishna himself, when he comes here, he goes to Dhritarashtra's palace. See, Dhritarashtra, they're enemies. They're on two sides. So, but anyway, Krishna goes to the house. They all come in. They welcome him. Come in, wash your feet. They treat him like God. He is God. So that's the culture. You treat the Atithi Seva. The guest is coming, you treat him exactly like God. So Krishna can come, he can move around, okay, because in Varnashram. Because they treat everyone like God. But in the Western countries, no Varnashram system, so nobody's treated as God. So someone comes to the door, you say, what do you want? Krishna, please come in, let's wash your feet and massage you. Now you can explain your visit. Akrura, when Akrura arrived in Vrindavan, and Krishna Balaram worshipped him. He put him in, washed his feet, gave him some milk, gave him some presentations and things like that. Probably gave him some cows, because they're a cow as well. But they said, you can take a rest, a little bit of rest. And Akrura took a little bit. Then Krishna Balaram comes, started massaging his feet very softly. They said, if you like, you can discuss why you've come here. You can disclose the reason you're coming here. Nice. In the Western countries, what do you want? Well, can Johnny come out to play? No, he's taking his lunch. You go back. Come back later. So the culture's there. They can move. Even Krishna can move around. The culture is okay. So the devotees, they have no problem with Varnashram system. It doesn't interfere with our devotional service. So actually there's two classes of people, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So they'll always be there. There's the persons who think that, Varnashram is a material thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, it's external, go further. And then there's others who say, no, we should establish Varnashram system in society to set a good example for everyone. So these two classes of people are always there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So you're never going to get one hold. I was always, Varnashram, it's for, it should be seen and not heard. Because why do we want to identify as a brahmachari or a brahmacharini or a mother or a father? I'm not a brahmana kachya vaisya, I'm not a brahmachari sannyas panapras. I'm none of these identities. So why do we want to establish a society which gives us an identity of being a brahmachari or a grihastha? That's the last thing we want to do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, naham vrijo narpati na vaishana. I'm not none of these things. But then again, for Prabhupada emphasized so much, Varnashram, we should implement Varnashram. But he said for others. So, anyway, I was always on the side of direct Krishna consciousness. Forget the Varnashram side of it. But now I'm changing my mind. I'm going over the other side. After hearing Shiva Ramaraj's some talk on Varnashram when he was in London. But he had a nice vision of it. And, as Goshta Nandis, we're a preaching society. If we were Bhajan Nandis, then definitely Varnashram is out. You just want to do your bhajan, hearing and chanting, forget Varnashram. But as we're a Goshta Nandis, a preaching society, then it actually is very important that we do establish Varnashram society to bring people up to at least they become civilized. Human starts in Varnashram. So they become civilized and then they can ultimately come to devotional service. So as a preaching society, then actually it's our mood to want to give to give everyone an opportunity to come to Krishna consciousness. And because most people are attracted to, they're attached to the material world, then okay, you got your attachments, you can follow Varnashram and keep your attachments. But slowly you become purified. So, here Prahlad is very direct. What use is Dharma Arta Kama Moksha. When you have the savor of the Lord, they come searching for those. Navadvipa also, they become so searching. So, today, Balaam Jayati, I didn't do it with you. Anyway, we have so much service today. It's a really busy, busy day in the for Radha Madhava and everyone. It's Purnima, of course, we have a special Abhishek for Janardhan every Purnima. It means we offer all the different herbal baths and things like that. Then Radha Madhava have to have a new flower dress, and they're going and sitting on the swing whole day, or at least up till noontime, so that you'll be able to serve them. And then there's another Abhishek, public Abhishek of Balaram. We'll bathe the Shalagram, the Anantadev, because Ananta is Balaram expands as Anantadev. There'll be an Abhishek at noontime. And then again in the evening will be a Julan in the Goshala, and breaking of the honey pot, because Balaram likes honey. Somehow or another, this festival, I don't think it's Shastric, I think it's just a local custom. And because Balaram likes honey and his appearance, so they make a honey pot, and they clay pot, they try to break it. Usually it goes on the Julan site, I'm not sure about this year. Anyway, so much seva we can do, so much activity is going on here. This, all the processes of devotional service. When we're absorbed in all these different activities of devotional service, we forget about everything else. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, Rini, Kinkara, Varnashram. We've become too busy to serve, to worry about anything else. Okay, it's 9 o'clock. A bit late, so. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. Shri Balaram Jayanti ki jay. Radha Madhav Chula Nyatra Mahotsav ki. Nitai Go Premanandi. Thank you. Any comments or questions? Yes. What? Balaram Tattva. Yeah, Shri Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna. Yeah, they form the Swarupa. Panchatattvapakam Krishnam Bhaktarup Swarupakam. He's a Swarup, the Swarup Shakti of the Lord. So the Lord expands as his Swarup Shakti, Balaram, and he does all the work. God doesn't do any work, he doesn't have to do anything. So when there's something, it has to be some work, then he expands and Balaram does all the work. He creates the Dham, he becomes existent potency, he expands as the Dham, as the holy name, as all the people in the Dham and all the residents of Vrindavan and everything. The existence of everything, he expands. But he doesn't do it even personally. Krishna doesn't do any work, Balaram also. He just desires it, and by his desiring it, then it's carried out by, you know, then you got the three Vishnus, Karidakshai Vishnu, Karnadakshai Vishnu. they start doing the actual creation and everything like that. But the Srup Shakti is there by his executing the will of the Lord. Yeah, there's actually three creators in this material world. That is Shiva, Shambhu, and Devi, Parvati Devi, in the first creation. They are the mother and father of the, by their union, then the creation takes place. Like we have mother, father, the creation takes place. So, Shiva and Parvati, they are the original creators of the material world. Now, why do they create? By their by their union, the whole universe become, everything becomes manifested. But why are they creating? Because of the will of Vishnu. That's why they're creating, they're executing the will of Vishnu. So therefore, there's three creators in this material world. Vishnu and Shiva and Parvati, these are the... So Balaram, to do that, he simply expands into the Vishnu forms and then they start doing all of the creation. Bala means strength, especially spiritual strength. When those interested in spiritual life should take shelter of Balaram to get strength. There's a nice purport somewhere, I can't remember. You have a sword. Krishna says you should cut ignorance with the sword of knowledge. You should cut this ignorance. But to hold that sword, you need some strength. But that's Balaram. Balaram will give you the strength to hold the sword. But you've got to cut it. Krishna doesn't cut your detachments. He doesn't cut your attachments either. He doesn't interfere with your independence. But he gives you the power to hold the sword to cut thee. So that potency is coming from Balaram. So... yeah, so much power. He is the whole creation. So it's not surprising when he called Jamuna. He wanted to play, and he was intoxicated, as he often is. Mentions there a little bit. Oh no, yes, he's a bit intoxicated. He wanted to enjoy swimming in the Jamuna with his girlfriends. And Jamuna thought, this boy, his eyes are rolling and he's intoxicated. I don't take it very seriously. And Balaram said, you wretched river. He became very angry. You wretched river. You didn't come when I called you. Now I forcibly drag you. He got his plow. Started scratching the earth. All the rivers started changing courses, different places. So everybody, and then he started to drag the whole of the city of Hastinapur. It was trembling. Everyone thought it was an earthquake. So then, wow, they understood it was Balaram. Of course, they had insulted him by insulting Krishna when he came to catch Shambaran. Was it Shambaran Lakshman? When Shamba kidnapped him, the daughter of Duryodhan, was it? Anyway, Balaram, he said, I'll go there, I'll talk peace. So he went there and talked some peace. And then the other party said, what is this? What kind of talk is this that Balaram is talking? We're the kings here. You're not actually kings. Only by our grace we're giving you a little bit of land, you can become kings. And only by our grace you've got a little bit of land, otherwise we're the kings. And we let you use the royal insignia. You're using the fan, the whisk, the white whisk, and the umbrella. It's all royal insignia, but somehow or another, because we're close to you, because we're related. So you can use these things. But actually, they were meant for Kshatriyas and us big kings. Balaram became furious. His eyes were red. It looked like the whole world was going to burst into flames. It was difficult to look anyone to look at him. He was so angry and shaking. He said, Krishna, he goes after the demigods. He brings the earrings back of Aditi. Who can do this? All the demigods come and bow at his feet, and you'd say he's not worthy of... they become so impudent. Now I can see the age of... the influence of the age. Best that I destroy all these people. Wipe them up. He was going to do it. He was really, really angry. So then he dragged the Hastinapur city, started crumbling, the buildings. Then they all came to their senses and went to apologize. Please, 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 please don't destroy our city. Then they admitted out, it's actually, it was a plan. We planned it like this because we're Kshatriyas, and when there's a wedding, then we want to see the prowess of the other party or the side of the other party's side. So we want to see their prowess. So we wanted to see what you would do in this situation, how you would show your... So we actually, when we insulted you, we were playing only, but just to get you agitated to see what you would do, because we wanted to see something wonderful. After all, you're going to be our... the marriage tie is going to be there. So we wanted to have something, see how relatives, how great they are, how brother-in-law, new brother-in-laws, and etc. How great he is, how strong he is. So they created the whole thing so Balaram could show his superhuman powers. So he's the maintainer of everything, establisher of everything. So for him, it wasn't difficult to pull the city of Hastinapur. Yeah, so that's the general understanding, power. No, he wanted to enjoy with his gopis. So he called Jamunaji. He wasn't going to enjoy with Jamunaji. That's Krishna's. Krishna enjoys with Jamuna. But Balaram had his own girlfriend. But he wanted to take a bath in the river and have pastimes in the Jamuna. So he was calling her. Is that right? I think he was like... Yes.
Prabhu, Balaram, he's more into righteousness and justice than Krishna, yes?
And born into righteousness.
Righteousness and justice than Krishna. But Duryodhana was a very wicked king. So why did Duryodhana favor Duryodhana more than Bhima? Because they were both his students.
Why did Balaram
favor? He favored Duryodhana more than Bhima, even though Duryodhana was very evil.
I don't know the Mahabharata very well, but I think that instance was that Balaram, he taught Duryodhana the art of fighting with the club. Balaram is very most expert with the club. His fame, he always carries the club. So he taught Duryodhana how the art of fighting with the club. So actually Duryodhana was the more skillful in fighting than Bhima, because he had been trained by Lord Balaram. Is that right?
But Bhima was also a student of Balaram. So
yeah, he was.
He could have liked them equally.
Yeah, they're all related, but they had a special interest because the teacher and the student have a special relationship. But I don't think Bhima was trained in club fighting. He knew how to fight. He could fight with 10,000 elephants. 10,000 elephants. Strong elephants. And one time on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was some phalanx camp with 10,000 elephants. They actually had 10, and it was coming towards Bhima, and Bhima saw 10,000 strong elephants, and he went... He started licking his lips. This is a good match for me, 10,000 strong elephants. He licked his lips out of happiness and joy. Going to get a good fight now, a good battle. Thank you for your question.
Before chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we say the Panchatantra Mantra, because there may some offenses will be happen during this chanting. And yesterday I have studied in a book that there are 10 offenses may occur during chanting. What are the offenses? I don't know. Please.
The offenses against the holy name. That you're asking?
Yeah.
Oh, that's written down so many places. Especially to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to the chanting. But this is a very strong offense, specifically that one. To disrespect the guru, to not follow the guru's instructions, because our faith is, the guru is our faith and our support in the beginning. So if we, somehow or another, if we blaspheme that, then he takes away, he removes his potency, then we lose faith. We don't have faith. That is our basis. It's based on faith, our spiritual life. If that basis is taken away, then we fall down. So we should never consider the guru an ordinary person or any Vaishnava an ordinary person. So this is all showing signs of lack of faith. But you look in Nectar, everywhere in all of Prabhupada's books, he's listed those different offenses you can study them. But Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu, they don't accept, they're not accepting the offenses in chanting Hare Krishna. The idea is that you give up your sinful activity, but the idea is you take what they're giving. Here they, you take chanting, no matter what position you're in. Even if you're performing sinful activities, if you're performing pious activities, if you're addicted to dharma, artha, karma, moksha. We're not, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda are not considering the so-called disqualifications, or the so-called qualification. So the only consideration is, yes, I will accept, this is the consideration. They are, please take. The consideration is, yes, please give, I want to take it and embrace it quickly. That's the only qualification they're asking. You take. So therefore they come to give Braja Prem, spontaneous service. If you can't take it, what they're giving immediately, then here's the Varnashram system, here's the Pancharatika system, here's the Bhakti, Vedi Bhakti system. But first they are giving. If you take it as eagerly as they are giving it, you can eagerly take it, then you'll come above the modes of material nature. So the gift of Balaram. Taraka and Paraka, these are the two names. Krishna and Balaram. Taraka and Paraka. The name of Balaram is Taraka. It gives liberation. You chant the name of Ram, it gives liberation. Balaram. And Taraka is the name of Krishna. You chant the name of Krishna, it gives prem. So Paraka, Taraka and Paraka, they are searching in the Dham, they're here in the Dham, they're searching. Who's chanting these names of Gaur-Nitai? Who's chanting these? Where are they? Then Balaram comes and he gives Taraka, he gives liberation. Then Krishna comes, Mahaprabhu, he gives bhakti, he gives prema. Paraka and Taraka. So we need the mercy of Balaram. We have to get the mercy of Balaram before we get the mercy of Krishna. Prabhupada said. Actually, first you get the mercy of Subhadra, then get the mercy of Balaram. Then you can receive the mercy of Jagannath. Yeah, so he can give you the strength to receive the mercy of Gaur-Nitai. Because first you have to be liberated to receive Krishna. So that's the existential potency. So Krishna's going to come into the material world, but he never touches the material world. So therefore Balaram expands as the Dham. Okay, now you can come. It's not the material world anymore. Now you can perform your pastimes in Nadia and Chaknathpur. So he becomes the support of everything. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Balaram Jayanti ki. Radha Madhava Julyanyaj ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki. Nitai Gaura Prema Nandini.